Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers. Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, no reason to get fired up this time. We are fired up!
Yeah, I'm fired up.
Me and Chad have been drinking all morning, so welcome to the podcast.
Drinking all morning, drinking all night.
If you want to know how drunk I was last night, please go to Robert Digital's YouTube page. It is probably the most unintentional humor I've ever done. I was so drunk.
Yeah, you were drunk last night.
You know when you're really drunk and you think you're being really smart or really tactical or really careful, and you're totally not? That's pretty much what was
happening. What's funny is, I was tactically sound, but 30 seconds behind the action. Yeah. Hey, Bobby, I need you to go to...
Try to recreate it.
I know. You're going to think that I was hamming it up? No, that was all legit. I didn't even remember. Bobby's like, you need to listen to this. I shadow played your assholeness last night.
It's on... the link is on our website.
Yeah, it's on our YouTube
channel. Also on the Steam group.
You go to the Steam group on the right side, there's three links.
Must
to the
watch.
Website.
It's 20 seconds, guys.
Yeah, 20 seconds for a laugh. You know, and thanks to Shadowplay, we have this because when something funny happens, I can just Alt F10 and capture that. And that's crazy how you can do that with just, I can't get over how you can do that with any video card now. AMD or NVIDIA has that capability. It's so nice. Imagine, like, once you get, Emilio gets his upgrade.
Hey, I got an AMD. I just realized. I mean, this week. When I ran my 3D mark score.
Yeah, I can't wait until I upgrade. That's going to be this week. I finally, we're going to finish that off. My current score is 3.8, I believe.
I thought it was 3.3. Anyways.
Yeah. And Bobby's is like 11K, almost 12K, right?
Yeah, 11,000 on the Firestrike test.
Yeah.
I think yours was around 2,500. 3,000, something like that. So, yeah, there's room for improvement there.
Yeah. And then Chad's been talking nonstop shit about my rig, and he comes in at like 2,700.
Yeah, but mine hasn't shut down on me once.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I'll take a plain, shittier rig than a non-plain, good rig.
I currently have the side panel of my computer off with ice cubes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to keep it down.
Just hose it down whenever it gets hot. Yeah. That's the right way to do it. You want to mention...
At the end of this podcast, we had an interview with a competitive CSGO player, Prism. Check that out. Even if you're not really into Counter-Strike, just some good stuff there. It was really interesting to sit down and talk with someone who's into that scene. And
yeah, the reason I watch documentaries is to learn about shit that I have no idea about. I had no idea about this whole competitive world. I knew that it existed. I didn't know the details. Now I know them. So I'm glad I did the interview.
Sometimes like speaking a different language when he started getting into it and talking about stuff is like, I thought I knew the game until he started talking, and it's like you really have no idea what's going on.
Yeah,
until.
If you only play one game, could you imagine how spread out it
the
becomes?
The breadth of knowledge you have.
Yeah, absolutely, in one game.
Definitely. Yeah, well, there's just a lot of acronyms.
And it makes
me
want to play. Like, that interview made me want to play
We're
CSGO.
Almost a full team right here.
Yeah.
We just need two more players. Dick Nick,
a full team of shitty players.
Yeah, we can't have two Nicks, though. That's going to get confusing.
One's Dick and one's Nick.
There you go.
All right, so yeah, check that out at the end of this podcast. Also, the screenshot contest is officially over. We had a grand total of 15 entries.
Yeah, thanks everybody for participating. That was awesome.
Yeah, and I think we'll be doing this again sometime in the future. Not sure when, but it was a lot of fun, and we want to keep doing fun stuff like that.
Unfortunately, the winner goes because we all wanted to get into heaven.
Yeah.
As opposed to anything else. We're just sucking up. No, that's just a joke because the grand final winner is Jesus.
Congrats.
Yeah, with his...
drum roll. Yeah. Fair.
I think visually it wasn't the best, but the work that went into it. You know, some people took pictures of, what do you call it, cutscenes or whatever, which looked great.
Yeah.
But he put a lot of work into this. Even if it was a mod or he was doing, however he did it, work went into taking this picture, and it's funny. I mean, there's like 50 cars piled up on a golf cart, so that's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think it was from Grand Theft Auto 4. We took a lot of things into account. We argued quite a bit over it.
Yeah, it was actually a runner-up. It was a close decision. There was like lots of...
Yeah, there's a runner-up, and we're going to throw him a little something too, and that's the Killer Fuzz Zero, mm-hmm. With his giant
RoboCock?
Dildozer.
From RoboCraft.
I gotta admit, guys, when I originally saw this in game, I took off my headset and was crying. I lost control of my body.
I had to run over to your room to see Chad what was going on.
He's like, because he was trying to play Firefall, I think it was. He's like, okay, let me go see what's so funny. He comes over, and as soon as he walked in my room, the dildonator fell
the dildozer.
Over. Dildozer. I keep fucking forgetting it. The dildozer falls over. I lost my shit. Like, he was talking it up like it was, like, going to kill everybody. We start going out, and it just falls over, and he starts making donuts.
I was laughing twice as hard, too, because, first of all, earlier in the conversation, you guys were talking about how I got something good, and he said, I got something good. You both come out, and it's
we both have dicks.
Giant dicks. And then I come in, and you guys have both fallen over. It looks like you're sword fighting on the ground.
Unfortunately, I wasn't even trying to do a dick. I was just trying to do something ridiculous, and this was the most and the shape ended up being dick-like. But, I mean...
Hey, man, dick happens.
Yeah.
But there were some other good ones in there, too.
Lizbell's, I really wanted his to win. The Eve picture is just, if you play Eve and you see this picture, you know how impressive it is. And
how much shit it has.
Yeah. If you've never played Eve, then you probably don't realize, but like seeing that picture is impressive.
Yeah, and the Kerbal Space Program one, too. The first one that was
posted. That was my number two. I was pushing for that one hard, so.
Yeah. The Dead Space one I really liked, too. Just timing that picture just right to get that shot, that's really impressive as well.
For sure. Yeah.
So
thanks everybody for participating. And we're legit. Like, anytime we're gonna have a contest, we're gonna keep to our word.
Should we tell what we're giving him since it was on his wish list?
Oh yeah, he's getting Dragon Age.
No, Witcher 3.
Oh, Witcher 3.
Yep. Witcher 3. Yep. So he's getting Witcher 3. Are we saying what Nick's getting?
Yeah, we're gonna throw Nick Monaco because he seems to be our most likely fourth player for games.
Yeah. Cool, thanks for everybody.
So what have we been playing? Well, what have you guys been playing? Because I have not been playing shit.
Too busy digging ditches.
Let's talk about RoboCraft, because this is something new.
Early access, it's not even official
early access,
live.
And it's free to play, and it's good.
Really good.
Really good.
God, we were having so much fun with this game. We played all day. What day was that? That was like Friday?
It was like a Thursday, because you had to work the next day. Yeah. And here's the funny thing.
Fuck, I played so late.
Chad doesn't stay up late, no matter what. If there's never been a night of amazing Smite that's kept him up, you know, he might make it to 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I've never seen him up to 3 a.m. for anything. And he stayed up till 3 for
four.
This game.
We were up till 4.
4 a.m. I stayed up till 6. I kept going. I was like, oh, a couple more revisions. So let's explain what it is. The rundown, if you will.
Yeah.
Basically, you get Legos. You put them together. You make a vehicle with your Legos. And you send it out against other people's creations. There's two teams, red and blue. They go up against each other. And what's interesting and where the comedy comes from is Legos can get blown off of your creation and leave you with a functioning but not really creation. Mm-hmm. And so you might have one wheel and just be able to go in circles. And
or you have no weapons left and you're just running around.
Yeah. It's free to play, but it's not like... spend money or you can't have a good time. I had a great time. Yeah. I played for 6 hours straight. But now that I enjoy it, and here's the good thing about the early access thing. I enjoy the game. I know that I do. I'm going to spend money on it. Mm-hmm. I want to support them now. Mm-hmm. And that's my favorite thing about early access. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to mention is it's basically a tank fighting game. So you're making a tank, but some of them will fly and some of them will be on the ground. There's different modes of transportation. You've got wheels, you've got thrusters, you've got
hover.
Yep. There's different weapons. They've got like a sniper rifle. They've got like a grenade launcher sort of thing. They got kind of a machine gun sort of thing. They got different levels of armor and stuff. You can make a tanky one or you can make a really quick kind of scout one.
Really, let me try to break down just the complete array of what this is. The craziest shit I've seen a sniper blimp that can't go
it just goes straight up.
You can't control where it goes. It's just a blimp and he's sniping with 8 sniper rifles,
something like that.
I've seen skimmers. Chad made a really good skimmer. It kind of looks like
a hovercraft.
It looks like the thing that Luke Skywalker had to jump into the desert, that thing. I kept going through a bunch of things. I had winners. I made a tank.
You had one that looked like it had a wall in the front, right?
I made a wall in the front with all the heaviest armor. And in the back, it was just like the most rinky-dink shit. But the wall on top of it, I put all the heaviest cannons. So that's all it was. If somebody flanked me, I was done one shot, but it was really hard to get past my wall. You're represented by a pilot.
Yeah.
And you need to put a pilot. No matter what your build is, the pilot needs to go on at least one Lego. So I saw one. I actually made it because I thought it was clever, but it's dog shit. It's one Lego with four thrusters and one seat and one gun on the bottom. So it's like the smallest possible thing you can make, but it was, you couldn't control anywhere you go. And let's see what is out. Tanky ones. Buggies are really
the
popular.
Flyers, yeah. Like, if you put on the ailerons and stuff, they're basically, you're basically flying a jet or whatever, and you can just fly through and bomb or whatever.
They got more control than a jet, I would say, because they can, like, back up and stuff.
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah. I mean, I can't recommend this game enough, especially if it's free.
The other thing that I was really happy with was all that creation part is really good, but if the combat part wasn't enjoyable, it would still be a game that you make stuff and then you don't care what happens. But the combat stuff was enjoyable. Yeah. Like, the fighting...
Even if you lose.
Because it's a single elimination round. You basically go... When you die, you're dead. There's no respawn.
Yeah.
So it's important for you to make something that will survive a little bit. You get play a little cautiously. I like the different elements where there's the sniper in the back that the little guys are trying to race up to before they die.
Yeah.
Like, the combat was enjoyable, too. That's part of the fun.
Even if you have a shitty build... Guys, half the fucking game is getting something that moves forward and you can control.
Yes.
Like, literally. It's tough. When you start a round... I'm not kidding here. 20% of your team falls over. 20%. They just fall over. That's it. They're done for the round. And they go in circles until the enemy comes. That's how that goes. That said, Chad got his shit blown to fucking shit. All he is one block, one pilot, and one gun. We're getting invaded by their entire team. He puts up the best fight. This is fucking 300 shit. Like, somehow, his little pilot with one gun laying on his side killed a flyer, and he did good work on the second one, but...
I think we won that round.
I think we won. You think you held him off.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool, man.
So this game is in early access. It's free. Do they plan on charging for this at some point?
I think it's going to be a free-to-play where... So
microtransactions.
Yeah, you can purchase, like, credits to do different things, because you have to build your ship, and every block that you put on your ship has to be... purchased with either the in-game currency or with real money.
So they probably give you some for free up front?
Oh, yeah. Every round you play, you get some of their, you know, space bucks or whatever it is, which you can buy blocks. But you can also spend money if you didn't want to wait for all that to do it stuff. And then there's a whole tech tree, which is really cool, which they just patched recently to upgrade. There's leveling up that has to occur, and there's this whole tech tree levels 1 through 10 that you have to get your ship up to. So there's a lot going
on. They give
you
enough initial blocks for anything you want to do, really.
Yeah.
At least, especially for that level.
And they also start you off with three, like, default ships. So you can go in with your flyer, you can go in with
Better than anything you're going to build, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Off the bat, anyway.
Yeah, I would recommend you go in with just some of their pre-built ones and try it out. Yeah, and try to figure out what's going on. And then you can... you know, sell those or take those apart and create your own.
Yeah, the first thing I did was take apart all their shit, and I couldn't get anything that went in a straight line I could turn when I wanted it to for about an hour or so.
Two dicks falling on each other. Yeah, so, I had a lot of fun with that game.
I can't recommend it enough. It
seems like a really successful style of game where you spend some time crafting or creating something and then you put that into action and you actually get to play with it. You know,
and if you know me, that's probably my favorite type of game.
They themselves call it Minecraft meets Tank Wars, I think is what they called it. And it's a pretty good description of
it. I like my Lego analogy.
It is.
For my friend Bobby. It's Legos.
Haven't played it yet, have you?
No, not yet.
Yeah,
you should.
Now, I've seen it advertised all over Steam, but I have not been able to play it. The only thing I was able to play this week, well, I've been playing a little bit of Smite here and there, but that hasn't been going well, and I'm kind of getting over it anyway.
That's what you say. You like it for a week, and then you get over it for a couple weeks. And
yeah,
then you like
it's similar to World of Warcraft, where I kept coming back time and time again, but each time I came back, it was for a less period of time. So that's how it is with Smite. I come back, I play maybe a couple weeks, and then I'm all over again. But that's okay. I got a lot of other stuff to play. The only game other than that I was able to play this week was the one that we all played together the other night, Warface.
Yeah.
And that is a game by Crytek using the Crytek 3 engine. So it looks pretty good. At least on my computer, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looks good on mine. It looks good on yours. And Mamila was complaining about the graphics. He thought it looked like shit.
Coming out of Crytek, I expected more. Did you modify your graphics settings? I didn't.
No.
Dude, that's like the first thing I do in any game. Go directly to the options, video settings, turn up anti-aliasing.
I just said I had 2600 on my 3D Mark score. Like, if anything, I'm removing shadows and shaders and shit. That's what I'm doing.
I don't understand how you guys can play like that.
Well, I imagine that on AAA titles, the in-game customization or what is it, optimization is usually what I go with. I don't know.
I usually get into a game, run it on default. If it runs, I'm happy. If it doesn't run, I start removing shit to find something that will work. But man, I had a lot of fun with this game, first of all. Like, this game was a blast for me. So it is a first-person shooter. It's got a versus and a co-op mode. We stuck almost exclusively to co-op. It's a free-to-play game from Crytek. Modern-day shooter with kind of a made-up storyline where you're fighting against this evil corporation called, what was it called? Blacklight or...
Yeah, and it was hammed up quite a bit.
Yeah, it was like...
It's campy, though. They weren't going for seriousness, I don't think.
Well, the gameplay is serious, but the story behind it is kind of campy.
Yeah.
But, like, you go in, and since
you're
we played...
You're not playing it for the story.
Yeah, you're not playing it for the story, but it's kind of cool because these missions that you go on these co-op missions... And they're almost a puzzle game. Like, you got to learn where the people are coming out of. It's almost like playing Edge of Tomorrow, where you're kind of anticipating where they're coming out, and you're already shooting when they're walking out the door. Because if you don't, they pretty much own you. Anything else on how that, what the game is about?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, there's different classes?
Four classes. Rifleman, Medic, Engineer, Sniper, pretty standard. The PvP
terrible.
Seems to be suffering from
and
serious latency issues.
So, maybe I could shed some light on this. Crytek's going through some serious... You know, Crytek's a legit company.
Yeah, they're the Far Cry people.
No,
right?
Not Far Cry.
Crysis people.
Crysis people. Those are legit AAA titles. They're going through some real shit right now. UK offices just shut down. And the American offices are... I think they're about to shut down. They're hurting for money. They haven't been paying their employees. They're in deep shit. And what's unfortunate about this is the dark side of gaming. Because they make single-player games that cost so much... Single-player games are the number one games that are pirated. Mm-hmm. Crysis suffered from pirating more than, I think, any other game. It's really, really bad. Because you're getting a AAA title that you don't need a multiplayer. That's why they put multiplayer in the second one. But it wasn't enough to deter the people from not buying it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or pirating it. So that's what we're seeing here. And that's why last night I was so drunk, guys. You don't understand. Watch the video. You'll understand how drunk I was. We couldn't pass this one part, and I was convinced. I kept calling it Candy Crush. It was a cash grab because I was thinking that they were making a game harder than it should be.
Too hard that you
That
you
have
had
to spend
pay.
Money to get through the level,
yeah.
Which is what Candy Crush is, and that's why they make so much money. And I was convinced, and I was like, all their offices are shutting down. They're making Candy Crush. That's what we're playing. But it turns out, now that I watched the video, I was fucking wasted. And I should have
it. Today we went right through it.
Well, what happened was we spent hours, 2, maybe 3 hours, trying to get past this one point on a map. And we kept failing over and over and over again. And Emilio raised those points. I was like, nah, I think you guys are just too drunk and it's 4 a.m. We came back the next day and breezed right through it. Yep. The first try, we made it further than we ever did in that level. The second try, we beat the entire level.
If you hear an underlying level of frustration out of Bobby's voice, it's because he was the only sober one dealing with
3 hours of us.
Well, we had each taken on our specific roles. Emilio was taking point, Chad was the healer, and I was the sniper. So I was constantly in the back trying to call things out, you know, point out guys, take out enemies. Emilio's running off and trying to just hose everybody down and just getting blown up one after the other. So I'm sitting back watching all this go down time after time. So, yeah, I was like, all right.
Same turret killers. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, and maybe like the 5th or 6th, probably more than that. I was like, yeah, there's a turret at the end of the road. I've told you 3 times. And then we go back and try it again, and Emilio dies. He's like, there's a turret right there. Watch out for that turret. All right, this is not happening.
I'm sorry.
Well,
but it was fun. I enjoyed it, but this is not something I think I would enjoy any other way. Like, yeah. If I had loaded this up as a single player, I don't think I'd have that much fun. And this is probably not something I'm going to revisit.
And we keep coming back to this where we say, if you got some buddies, play this. Guys, I mean, as cheesy as it sounds, we're your buddies. Hit us up. Like, yeah. We're totally down. On most evenings, we're down to play a 3 or 4 player game.
And this one,
if we're online, don't be afraid. Fucking hit us up.
There's co-op is hundreds of you. Awesome. Why wouldn't this game?
Yeah, you know, we put that out there a lot, but you know, maybe we should actually start sending out invites. Or if you see, you know, friend us on Steam, and if you see all three of us load up like Warframe or Warface. Warframe was another game very similar in a way.
Yeah, but
if you see us all three load up one game, you know, jump right in, man. We, you know, hop on Skype. We're always down for that. We eventually did find a fourth player the next day, and we were able to get even further in the game.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I didn't play any of the player versus player. The co-op was fun. It's like a little bit of Payday mixed with Left 4 Dead, mixed with Warframe. It had a little bit
of... a lot of Left 4 Dead, although I never really played much of it, but I've seen it played. But it's kind of like you're trying to get through the level. It's
very linear.
Very linear. Like, almost too much sometimes. You can't, like, get up on buildings sometimes.
Yeah, I said at some point that it feels like Virtua Cop.
Yeah, because it does.
A lot of...
You move to a next...
We had the Virtua Cop master there, so...
You move to the next spot. You hide behind stuff while the wave spawns. You take care of that wave. You move to the next spot. But if you don't know the level yet, you don't know when the next wave spawns, so it...
And I have to, give it credit. For something to, I wouldn't say outsmart, but bully around four intelligent people, like, there's challenge there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to rethink, we strategized, and we conquered. And that's the fun.
When we did the HQ, what was the tower?
We just got hosed.
Tower Raid.
Tower Raid. That was, yeah.
Tower Rape.
Yeah. Is what it was. We got, the first time we got through wave one.
Yeah.
And the second time we got through wave two.
It is a challenging game. And I wonder if we unlocked more things, if that would become easier.
It almost feels like it could be designed like you're raiding, like in WoW or something, where you've got to get tier 1 in order to raid tier 2, and you've got to get tier 2 to raid tier 3,
yeah,
that sort of
so
thing.
So much gameplay. Yeah.
I liken it more to Payday 2, though, because there are some really distinct similarities I saw. Number one, as the sniper, when I was trying to pick off people maybe behind a turret or the shielded units... There were parts of their body that I could see sticking out, and I would line up the crosshairs and shoot them, and I know they were hitting, but they weren't registering as
hits.
The
hitbox is pretty weird.
And that's very, very similar to Payday 2. And after you play that, I played maybe 80 hours of Payday 2. I've memorized that. I know exactly when I can shoot them. I know if I shoot them and they go into their hit animation, I have to wait for them to come out of it before I can then hit them again and register another hit.
Which you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, it's
kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
But that's how this game is. So I kind of started adjusting to that. Also, you can memorize a map. Nothing changes. And that's similar to Payday 2, because if you're pulling off a heist, then everything's the same. You know, maybe there's more enemies in this area.
There's a little bit of variation in both games.
I'd say even less in Warface.
Yes.
Because we would run up to a spot, we'd say, okay, one shielded unit and one gunner is going to run right
here. Hey, man,
that
turret was somewhere different every time, man. I'm kidding, folks.
There was two when it started.
It never moved once.
Got really drunk. You started seeing two of them.
Yeah.
I think the idea of this first-person, cooperative, linear play, I had a lot of fun with. I think there's more iteration to do. I think moving forward, more games will do this, but
100%.
I think they'll have more diversity. Like, you won't know, like, maybe they'll come from the left this time, or maybe the right. Like, I think there's ways to advance this idea
co-op
that they haven't done in Warface.
The future, the immediate future, not the end-all, but the immediate future of what we're going to be playing are four-player co-ops and arena shooters. That's what's coming down the pipe, 100%.
Yeah, we talked with Tyler Wilde about this, and, like, what's coming up, and arena shooters and these four-player co-ops... These are going to be the next year. Yeah. This is what we're going to see a ton of.
That horror one that's coming out, four-player co-op, it's coming down. It's like Hunted. It's really good. It looks great.
I haven't seen really videos good. Of that. Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway of this is Warface is fun if you have players to play with. If you're playing co-op, it's a blast. If you're playing versus, play anything else, literally anything else, because this game is going to kill your soul if you're trying to play versus.
TF2 is 10 times the game.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Like, please do not play this in versus.
So, if you do have three buddies or whatever, do you go for this first, or do you go for something else first? What do you think?
I think if you're a shooter fan, As far as co-op shooters are concerned, what else are you going
to
play?
Yeah, if you're tired of Left 4 Dead, if you played that a million hours, it's time to try something else.
Yeah.
Well, I think the important thing to note about this is it's not a casual game. This requires a lot of communication. Imagine if we hadn't been on Skype.
Oh, yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah. Even when you guys were sober, this was challenging. So
yeah, if you guys are wondering why we're praising it so much, when legitimately strategizing, okay, I'm going to run across, I'm going to draw his fire, you can flank him left, and we're going to take him out. That's legit strat that happened over and over.
We were playing against a heavy gunner on the hardcore map on this, the first time we beat it, we all cheered like it was a raid
boss.
Red
boss.
That's exactly what
I thought, yeah.
Like, that's the level of, challenge that we were having.
And I have to admit that the boss fights were, I don't want to say unique, but they weren't cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Maybe the first one was a little bit, but that one that you're talking about, Juggernaut, and then the tank thing, I've seen all that before, but in this game, 4-player co-op, I haven't seen it before, and it's done really well. Every boss is unique.
I almost wish, if they hadn't included a versus, this would be getting a better score than it's getting. The versus is kind of killing this game.
I can't fault it for that, though. I mean, the co-op alone is
it's
a lot
like
of
somebody
fun.
Putting a shitty single player in a really good multiplayer game. It's like
a Battlefield, where the single player is just tacked on at the end.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no problem.
That's all I ever do. Titties.
All right, what else have we been playing? Oh, Firefall. We played some Firefall.
Well, Bobby, you want to talk about the fall? I feel bad.
No, that's me.
Yeah, it's Jet.
Oh, go for it.
You want me to talk about
the fall? I actually
bought
the fall, but I haven't played it yet.
Okay. So let me explain what The Fall is first. The Fall is a 2D side-scroller, point-and-click with action elements in it. The basic premise is you play as a suit that fell from the sky and landed on the ground. And this suit is basically a robot, and it's got three operating parameters, and the most important operating parameter is to save its pilot. So the suit's pilot is unconscious and its health is damaged, so it's trying to get to a medical facility. So the whole point of the game is to try to get... You're playing as the suit, trying to get the medical facility so you can help your pilot.
That's so interesting.
That's inside your suit.
Somebody was fucked up when they come up with that.
But this game is basically a point-and-click adventure. So it's a side-scroller with really atmospheric art. It looks really good. The art drew me to this game. It just looks really cool, really dark, almost black and white, but it's not. It's just really atmospheric. It's a point and click, so you move down the thing and you've got your gun out, and your gun will highlight stuff and it will allow you to do different things when you're at stuff. So I've been trying to find a good point and click adventure this whole time, and I haven't found anything that was really appealing to that. And this one hit it right on the button. Because it is a point and click, but there are elements, there are times when you actually have to use your gun and there's some actual action elements to it. I had a lot of fun with this. It was on sale.
Did you beat it?
Yeah. I beat it. It's probably 5 or 6 hours of gameplay, maybe.
Okay. It looks awesome.
The story is fun. The gameplay is good. I had to look up maybe once or twice. I couldn't figure out some of these point-and-click puzzles, so I had to look some up once or twice.
What? You looked them up?
Yeah, well, because I had to get through this game. I got so many other games that I got to get to. I'll spend a little bit trying to figure it out, but yeah, I highly recommend this game.
Pussy.
If you can get it on sale, pick it up. If you're interested in point-and-clicks, I really recommend it. Yeah.
Visually, it reminds me of The Swapper and maybe even a little bit of Limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely has
exactly what I was about to say. Those two. It's a cross between those two.
And the story is really interesting. Like I said, because you're playing as this suit that's trying to protect the pilot inside the suit. And it's got this whole thing. It
has no morals, right?
Well, it has this operating parameters, but you keep having to go outside the operating parameters to do the primary function, which is to save your pilot.
Right.
So it's this interplay of what is the most important, and it plays off that. It also plays a little bit off what's more important, the robot or the person inside it. So it's got some of these moral choices and all. It's just a really good game. It really well done. It was a Kickstarter game. It ends kind of open, so there might be either a season two or a sequel or something like that.
Yeah, it's tagged as episodic in Steam.
Because it ends with to be continued. So I highly recommend it. If you're interested in point and clicks at all, I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, Metascore is only 75, but Steam users have given it thumbs up 90% over 10%.
And this all comes from the author of iRobot. He came up with the three laws of robotics. Mm-hmm. And they are, if you haven't heard them before, they're kind of cool to listen to. One, a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to be harmed. Two, a robot must obey the orders given to him by human beings except where such orders were conflict with the first law. And three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
So this was great laws, by the way. Isaac Asimov. Yep. Do robots dream of sheep, or I forget what exactly it's called.
iRobot, I think, is where that came from.
Well, iRobot is the iteration
is
the iteration of the original story. So this kind of plays with that, and it's a lot of fun.
Did you guys ever see the iRobot the movie? Because the only thing that had in common with the book was those three laws.
Yes. I actually
say it was a bad movie.
Yeah, no, it was a great movie. I actually really liked the movie, and I really liked the book, but they just had nothing to do with each other.
That's like Starship Troopers, which is my least favorite.
I loved it.
I had to pick a least favorite movie. It's going to be Starship Troopers.
Just because he was so let down, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Had
you not read the book, you would have
known. There was a book, Starship Troopers?
Are you kidding me? It's a Heinlein book.
It's super old.
It's really good, but it's nothing like the movies.
So they just
got a little preachy for me.
But it was really good. Did you get through it all?
I got halfway through.
Oh, man. God, I can't get you guys on anything.
It was good when you were young. Anyway, let's go on.
Okay.
What do we got next?
Firefall. Let's talk about Firefall.
Sure. You hated it. I love it. Just like Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Segway.
I hated this game.
Dude, okay. Voice your complaints.
Well, let's explain the game first.
Right,
you want me to go?
It's an MMO that's a shooter.
Ew.
The interesting part about it is that you can change your class at any time because you're wearing a exoskeleton that you can go and transfer any other one at any time. Do you know if your XP transfer is over or you start at level 1 with that?
Yeah. Your XP is tied to the suit that you're wearing.
So you need to level them up all. Yeah. So I was going to go on a raid and we need
it's
a
healer. It's basically the jobs from Final Fantasy 13. So
you keep bringing this up, but I think you're the only person who ever played that game, man.
In Final Fantasy, you created a character and then you could pick a job. So instead of making a bunch of tunes, you had the same character that could wear different hats. So I could wear my level 80 white mage or I could wear my level 60 black mage, depending on what I needed to do. But everybody knew who you were because you never changed the actual character. You know, that's kind of how this is. So if you're playing later on, maybe I could play my level 20 support class XO, or I could play my level 10 assault XO or whatever.
So I guess it's not as good as I previously thought because I had the feeling that like if we need a healer, one of us could just randomly turn into a healer. But unless you haven't leveled it up for that raid, then you're probably not.
You're okay. Right.
Graphically, I thought it was fine for a free-to-play game.
I hated the graphics. Oh, I didn't hate it. It was piss poor.
When you guys talk about graphics, though, I never believe you because you're playing on computer systems that do not qualify as gaming rigs.
Let me put it this way, Bobby. I turned my graphics all the way up on this game and had no problems running it.
First of all, rude. Second of all, it's cel-shaded, and I enjoy cel-shaded. They went for an anime style. Yeah, they went for an anime style.
And I don't criticize a lot of games for having bad graphics, as long as the graphics support the game. Some games don't need to have good graphics, and I'm not talking about pixelated 8-bit graphics. I'm saying some games, like Warface, doesn't need to have any better graphics than it did. Sure, it'd be nice, but is that really going to add that much more to the game?
I would bet you money that you would complain about the graphics on this game. I will bet you money.
No way, man. Anyway, let's agree to disagree.
Okay, fair enough.
So, if I understand your complaint, you're saying that you were level 5, you only had 2 abilities, and you didn't feel that you were partaking in the class that you had chosen.
Yeah.
Okay. And I say that in any MMO, at that point, at level 5, you probably only have about 3 spells, or 3 abilities, and auto attack.
Let me put it this way. If you play in WoW, if you're a mage, what do you do? You go in and you shoot fireballs, right?
Right.
If you're a warrior, what do you go in? You go in and swing or whatever.
Right.
In this game, it doesn't matter what class you go in. You go in and you hold left click while you push while you aim at a guy. Like that's all you did. It doesn't matter what class you did.
Who'd you pick?
I picked the support class, the healer basic class.
That's probably why you feel that, because you had nobody to heal.
Even on the demo, the intro part, when I was healing guys kind of nominally, it doesn't really matter. Like it was a 2 minute cooldown.
Nobody can get killed. You know what I'm saying? So I got the engineer class, right? And when I was doing the regular very first quests, mm-hmm. on the way there was like randomly spawned quests for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and it was like support, protect this thing while it's getting repaired or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I started it up. And waves of bad guys were coming.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very much at home as an engineer with my turret. I was like, oh, this is perfect for my turret.
Okay, so you dropped the turret, and then what did you do?
I had three guns that I had to use.
Did you use three guns, or did you pick a guy and hold the left click? Because that's what I did.
Because so I had my main gun, which did the most damage. Then I had my repair gun that also does damage, but it shares ammo with my first gun. So I can't repair my turret if I use all my ammo on shooting guys. So there's that. And then once I run out of everything, I have a shotgun that's a backup. That's actually really the best one at close range. It does burst damage as opposed to...
Yeah.
So I think this game will get better the further you go into it. I think you were screaming... we both need to play it more. I might learn to hate it. You might learn to love it. I think it deserves more credit than it's getting.
I don't see any way that you do anything other than hold left click on this game. I don't see... There's no strategy. There's no tactics. There's no nothing.
You're level 5.
But it doesn't matter.
EverQuest had no strategy at level 5.
But what I'm saying is, at least at level 5, there's some rotation that you're doing in WoW. At least in every other MMO, you're doing something other than holding left click. This game, you literally hold left click. If you run out of ammo, you switch to another gun or you reload, and then you hold left click again. I felt like, you know, at least on Warface, we got waves coming and you got other strategy.
So,
like, this had nothing.
Well, how many hours did you guys put into this game?
I probably put...
One, maybe two.
6 hours in.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all...
Because you crashed a couple times or something, right? Or
no,
you
no.
bugged out?
No, like, to get to level 5, that's a lot of work.
So at the very base,
The other thing that really frustrates me on this game is... So you finish your tutorial, and then you get to a job board, and you can only select one quest. You can't do multiple quests at once. You can select one quest, and you go to it. But then it's like all the way on the other side of the map, and there's no...
There's quests on the way, though.
No. I mean, there's ones like, oh, protect this or whatever. Yeah. You're like running for like 15 minutes to get to a quest that... Then you get there and you like do your thing or whatever, and then you got to run all the way back. It's just like it wasn't set up very cleanly. Like there was no like it wasn't clean at all. Like that's what bothered me about it.
All the things that you're saying that are bothering you are legitimate concerns, but they're in all the other MMOs, in my opinion.
True, I will say true, but if you played WoW right now, they wouldn't be in the game. And I'm sorry that WoW started off shitty and got a lot better. But now you've got to compare yourself to WoW now. You can't compare yourself to WoW when it came out. Like, WoW is very clean right now. You know where you're going. You know how you're leveling up.
There's some heavy bugs in this game, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, MMOs back a couple years ago, you could start off this way and work your way into it. Nowadays, you're fighting tooth and nail against all these other high-class MMOs. And you got to come out strong. And this doesn't feel strong to me.
Does it feel more like an MMO or more like a first-person shooter, though?
That's what I was going to say. That's my counterpoint, I guess. At the very worst, it's a shitty shooter. Or, like, a decent shooter. It's a shooter. If you take out the MMO part of it, you're shooting a bunch of creatures that are running at you.
You don't even get, like, grenades or anything. Like you, literally, you're just pushing left click.
You were, dude. I was busy.
What's the cooldown on your turret?
It's like 30 seconds. And then I can upgrade it. And then
I picked the worst class ever, but yeah. I didn't have a cooldown closer than 60 seconds. And it's like, what the fuck?
Well, like, you throw down like something that heals.
I got my first ability is a heal that like shoots out that heals multiple people.
Yeah.
And the second one is a trail of like poison that trails behind me.
And then the other thing that
that's a 60 second.
That's interesting.
And the heal is like a 2 minute.
You know, all these MMOs, they throw you in this world and everybody's level 1 and they're all doing the same shit, but they're all running every which way. It was buggy and whatever, but at least everybody was working together. I thought that was cool. First time ever, I think.
Well, it felt like Rift. Like, you code those rifts, and everybody jumps in, and it's the group quest. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're doing these, like, kind of Rift ones. What I did think was really cool was the gliding part, because if you took it to the next level, and you didn't have flight points, you just had glide spots that just kicked you up.
Which you do. I mean, that's how it works.
I don't know how it works advanced. I only know the very first, like, zone, so I don't know how...
I mean, you could go to that glide... just to explain, there's these pads that launch you up into the air and give you a glider. And then you can glide wherever you want. You don't have to go where it says.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then you can use them to get to your quest.
I thought that was a cool concept.
Yeah.
I don't know how they iterate it later on in the game.
Yeah.
But right now, like, because flight travel in traditional MMOs is very...
boring.
Yeah, you go and you get a drink or whatever. Yeah. You go to the bathroom while you're doing your flight points or whatever it is. But this one, actually, if you're gliding and doing something, I thought that was a cool concept.
You put a lot more time into it and didn't have a good time, so maybe when I put in those extra 4 hours, I'm going to dislike it. So we'll get back to you guys next week. I'm going to definitely play it some
It's free to play. If any of this interests you at all, you should just boot it up and give it a go. I'm going to tell you you're going to have a bad time, but convince me I'm wrong. Maybe there's something there that I'm not seeing. So what else were we playing?
I've been playing shit. What have you guys been playing?
I just wanted to mention Eve just real quick. You know, I've just been busy playing other games, so I haven't had a chance to play Eve. But what I am doing, since Eve's skills are based on real time, I log on to Eve every morning and just make sure I've got a day's worth of skills that are going. So, you know, like if you're playing Eve and you're busy, I would say just log on every morning, make sure your skills are going. I'm sure it's not the perfect way to play. You're supposed to be earning ISK and everything, but at least I feel like I'm being productive in Eve, even though I'm not playing it, which I think is cool.
That credit towards when you're offline is very interesting.
Yeah.
Not a lot of games do that at all.
Yeah.
Very rare.
I almost feel like sometimes I don't want to be playing Eve because I'm not far enough along in my skills to be worthwhile. So I feel like, I should,
but then also
I want to play this, but I want to wait till my droids are level 5.
But then your ships aren't up to your skills. That's the downside, right?
But you can't fly better ships until you have the skills.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
It's,
I think you're supposed to progress at the same time. But
There's the two different things. There's the skills that you're leveling up and your ISK, because you got to have enough money to be buying these ships.
Yeah.
And so my ISK is falling behind, and I realize that. But it's a good way. I still feel productive in Eve, even though I haven't had a chance to play it.
Cool.
The other one that I've been playing this week, I've only put in a couple hours, but Star Drive. It's a 4X game, which is what? Explore.
Exploit.
Expand. Is it?
That maybe not exploit.
I think it is exploit. Explore, expand, exploit.
Exterminate?
I forget.
I'm going to make shit up.
What's a classic 4X game? Masters of Orion. Sins of a Solar Empire. So basically, you start in
which
one.
I hated.
You start in one planet, and you have your skill trees that you have to, like, your tech trees that you're learning up, that you and then you're expanding out. So I've been playing this game.
Starbound.
Maybe. No, not really Starbound, because you're more playing as the entire alien race instead of just a particular person. I've been having fun with it, but it's really complicated. It's one of those games where you could be playing 20 hours and then you realize that you're doing something completely wrong and have to kind of start all over again.
Which, games need to be respectful of your time, really. I mean, if you got something that takes up that much time, please explain it. If somebody hadn't told me certain things about XCOM before I played them, I would have wasted so much time on XCOM. And it doesn't explain shit.
Yeah. No, and I agree. But I'm having fun. It was on sale, so I picked it up, and I've been playing it. I really want to get into these 4X games because I enjoy them. Masters of Orion is one of the classic games that I loved. And
a
so,
lot of people. That's on top of a lot of people's lists.
Yeah, and I really want to get back into that kind of that satisfaction I had playing Masters of Orion.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
So this got 2% thumbs up on Steam.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Probably because it's so complicated.
All right, well, how many reviews? Let's get to the bottom of this. What is going on here? I don't know. I'll look into that later.
Have you ever seen anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, but there's got to be a reason. There's got to... But you're saying you're having a good time with it, though.
Well, no, I am just getting into the game.
Okay.
It's trying to... You can do some WASD controls with your, like, main ship. So they're trying to do more... They're trying to make it less passive and more...
Action-y.
Yeah, more action-y. But I'm working on it. I'll probably tell you guys more about it in the coming weeks.
I would suggest you read some of those things, because maybe they're saying you put in all this time and get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's better stuff. PC Gamer gave it a 78. It's got a 61 on Metacritic. Users gave it a 68, but just really bad Steam reviews. Maybe there was something about the Steam version of it that's problematic. I don't know. I'll have to look more into that.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, that's the other game I've been playing this week.
Star Drive. Awesome.
So what do we got next? ZMR, what is that?
This is coming up. So,
well, let's talk about news. What's going on? What's in the headlines?
ESPN covered the International for Dota 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
and
cool.
They were very happy with their... Very happy. I think the word was...
They mean ESPN?
ESPN was...
they got a lot of viewers.
Overjoyed or something like that with the how many viewers they got. And they said that they're going to commit a lot more airtime to esports. So we might even be seeing a new channel coming from ESPN just for esports.
That would be awesome. We're long overdue.
We're coming, folks.
Yeah. It sounds so biased, but I was telling someone the other day when I was talking about how I went to go watch the International over at Balboa Park. I was like, yeah, I'm not really into real sports and stuff. You know, like, would you rather watch a bunch of big burly dudes run into each other or, like, mythical creatures having these epic battles and destroying each other? I mean, that's pretty much what it is. But then again, I'm a little biased.
I think a battle of wits is more interesting to me than a battle of who's bigger.
Okay, I'm a big sports fan.
Yeah.
And I'm a big...
So you enjoy both.
I enjoy both. But my most important thing is it's got to be fun on TV. It's got to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Watching a Magic match, you know, they tried for a while to do Magic. Like, it's not enjoyable to watch. So games like Dota or Smite or... some of these other ones that have this action, even WoW Arena, where it's very action oriented. Yeah. These translate to TV or to Twitch or to web. Whatever,
well, I think it really comes down to the commentators. And I said this last week, but the commentators for the International were so good.
Do you know who it was?
They had two guys, Lumi and Toby. One were the announcers, so they narrated the game as it was played, and then they went to like a panel of maybe four people
in between the matches.
Yeah. Bruno, okay. I can't remember all their names. They kind of rotated in and out, but they talked strat. They interviewed some of the players. They discussed the recent match, the upcoming matches, stats, things like that. They just did such a great job with that, and that made it watchable for anyone who's really not into this stuff. And I think that's what it's going to take.
I think you make a good point, because the traditional sports have been on long enough that they've built up this kind of announcership and the way they do it, that the traditional person can just watch this. And I think esports are working their way up towards that, but I don't think they're there quite yet.
Mm.
And so, you know, when they spend a little more time and resources and money on doing all this, you're going to really... Because you need somebody that knows the game inside and out. Somebody that's played the game. Maybe even played it competitively. You need somebody that is a personality. Somebody that knows how to talk to the camera and appeal to the camera. And you got to have somebody that really can do the play-by-play, like... Explain to people what's going on. Even a person that doesn't necessarily know the game, you got to be able to explain it in a layperson's
perspective. A perfect example is like Hi-Rez Bart. He was just like a programmer or something over there, mm-hmm. and they just put him on the stream one day, and he's so charismatic, and he knows the game so well.
But he's a color commentator.
He became one. He was just working there.
But what I'm saying is, like, he's a personality, and after a play, so I don't know if you guys know how this works, but there's a play-by-play person, and there's a color commentator. Yep. So a play-by-play person is explaining exactly what's going on as it's going on. And then whenever there's lulls in action, the color commentator comes in and explains something that has happened or something outside of the game or anything like that.
Goldberg and Rogan.
Exactly. So Goldberg, in the UFC standpoint, is a play-by-play person, and Rogan is the color commentator. Right. They need that same sort of kind of people that can do that in these esports.
And they're getting them.
And they are getting them.
Inevitably, in any game of skill, you're going to have these people that know the game through and through, but can't quite be at the top. Mm-hmm. So they're going to fall into these roles. And that's perfect for them. We need those people.
Yeah.
The color commentator is not going to be the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have the time to do both.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like some people go to film school, they don't become directors. They become movie critics.
Yeah.
You know, people find their niche. But yeah. It's awesome. And again, like the TI4, they just did such a good job with that. And I would like to see that in more things like Counter-Strike, like other professional competitive scenes. I've never seen it done that well before.
The other thing about esports is you got to find the right sport that can watch all the action. That's why I think these MOBAs are doing so well, because you can watch a MOBA and get the same enjoyment out of playing it.
I find
like Counter-Strike, you're going from first person to first person from first person. There's no like overhead view. So it's totally really hard to like get into the spectate of the game.
Why is that? I guess it's not built into the engine that they can do that, huh?
And that's important coming up. Like these people that are designing these games need to design it with coming up, this competitive mindset, spectating is going to be important in these games coming up.
They 100% could do that, because in spectating, you could go free camera. So
you can, but it's got a lot of, like, collision, you know, you're seeing things through the, you know.
I'm thinking that it comes down to you can't appreciate the shots unless you're watching in the first person. Like, wow.
It's true.
Another thing you need in this kind of setup is somebody who can work the camera very well. And again, at the International, they had a separate person controlling the camera, and he had to listen. He had to watch the game. He had to listen to the commentators. Like, if the commentators mentioned something that was happening in top lane, he would go to top lane, and he would highlight something so you could see.
It's how all sports do them. They have the truck. Yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, you watch a lot of, like, commentators in esports, and it's just literally the guy doing the camera while he's also talking.
Yeah.
You got to have enough money that there's, or enough interest that there's enough people to do all the things for that you need to do.
And so, unfortunately, you can't pay somebody $40,000 because that's your prize pool.
Exactly.
Especially in CSGO and stuff, which is growing. And you'll hear more about that later if you listen to the interview.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So what else is happening?
No Man's Sky was kind of, you know, they kind of beat around the bush about it coming to PC. Now it's absolutely confirmed. They said that as soon as the exclusivity agreement that runs out for the PS4 runs out, it's going to come to PC. And they've always had it in mind. So, you know, this is probably one of my most anticipated games. So I was really happy to listen to that.
All right. So what's the next week looking like for you guys? Anything on the menu?
Well, we got big news. We both got Bobby and I, not Emilio.
I never get it to any fucking alphas or betas ever.
He's really mad about this.
Especially this one, man. I really want to play this game.
I love it. Oh, man. So we both got into the Evolve.
Fucking racist bastards.
Server load. Yeah. It's a white thing.
It's got to be. Anybody with the last name that ends in Z is automatically out of the queue.
Anyways, we both got into the Evolve Alpha. You can play anytime you want on my PC. So.
I'm out of here. I'm not doing this shit no more.
This is only going on August 1st to 3rd.
And it's August 2nd right now.
Yeah, it's August 2nd, so we have limited time to play this.
But we will be playing this. So we'll let you know. If you guys didn't get into the Evolve Alpha, next week we'll let you guys know what we thought of this initial test. Obviously, it's early. There's a lot of stuff going on with it. This is probably my most anticipated game. I know this is Amelia's most anticipated game, other than Binding of Isaac Rebirth. And Bobby, this is one of your most anticipated. So mm-hmm. We're all excited about this game. So we'll let you know what we think of it. And So I briefly played some Brothers: Tale of Two Sons because I stole Emilio's controller. It's a controller-only game, so I'll probably finish that up this week. I'll tell you, this game's really old, but...
Super short game, too.
Is it?
Yeah. Right, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're looking like 4 hours.
Okay, maybe I'm already halfway through it.
Yeah, and Divinity Original Sin, like, we're going to need to set a day, you know, to get
so
into it.
So we've all now got Divinity Original Sin, so we're going to be playing this. This is going to be another co-op game. I'm super excited about this game. Like, I really want to play this game.
I think it's only two-player co-op, though.
Okay. It? Mm-hmm. Well, then...
You got him a copy, too?
No, I don't
know. No, he's got a copy.
Oh. No, I don't.
Oh. It says you do.
Hey!
It's on my wish list. Maybe you got...
Hey, we got something Bobby doesn't have. Yeah!
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, watch Fuck me the man. Go buy that right now. I'm
sitting up there on this pile of games looking down. Yeah. Finally, little man.
All right, so Emil and I will play it. We'll tell Bobby all about it.
I don't know if we're going to get to it this week, but maybe.
It's a big game.
And the other game, so Tyler recommended this game. Shout out, Tyler. ZMR, which stands for Zombies, Monsters, and Robots, which... Right there makes me want to punch it in the cock, but I've heard some things about it, some good things, so I'm going to give it a go and see what type of game that is. How about you guys? What
are
you
okay with that sentence, Matt?
I really want to punch it in the cock, but we'll see how it is.
Okay.
Oh, man, maybe I've had too many of these.
I don't even know what I'm going to play this coming week.
Too busy digging ditches.
No, I'm done with that, fortunately. But I've been playing Smite here and there, and I'm over that, so now my game time is open. And I'm looking for something to get into, and I'm probably just going to run through a few games and see what sticks.
You could go to one of your 1,000 games that you've never played before.
I could, and I will. This happens
every
time.
Which of my Lamborghinis am I going to drive today?
Hey, not all these games are Lamborghinis. That's another bad analogy brought to you by Emilio.
Which one of these Pintos am I going to drive?
Yeah, pretty much. There we go. I do this all the time. I'll pick out maybe 5 games, and I'll play each one, maybe 5-10 minutes of them. Whichever one I like the best, I'll play it through. So,
and you end up playing like some satanic little boy games. It's funny, the ones that you get that appeal to you eventually.
I'm picking out the little gems, you know, the obscure nuggets.
No, he played through that game to go to the anal sex part.
That's true.
I was promised anal sex in that game.
Wow. Okay.
What about you, Emilio?
I will not be playing the Evolve beta.
No bitterness there at all.
Maybe we'll get into Divinity. Robocraft, you said, got better, so I can't wait to get back. Guys, fuck, the whole, like, I put it to tank together. Oh, I can't even move. Okay, it got blown to shit. Can't wait to get back. Okay. Oh, and then you're kind of like forced to watch your teammates. You know, you get ideas as you're watching them.
That's the best part is getting the ideas because it's the one that has like 6 kills and you're like, what the fuck is he
doing?
What's
he doing that I'm not doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the level of diversity in the... No two things look alike. Like you might see 2 buggies, but they both had 2 different ideas on how to go. Mm. Legos. There's no other way to say it. Like, you can go any direction you want, especially bad stuff. There's more bad ideas than good ideas. And that makes it fun, too. Especially when you find somebody with a bad idea. It's like, you can't turn left. You can't turn left. So I'm going to be playing that.
You know, they came out with a new piece, a flipper. It's literally a flipper. So when you're flipped upside down, this piece flips you back over.
Flipping over is one of the biggest problems in that game.
Yeah.
What was the TV show...
I'm
BattleBots. Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
BattleBots, where people would build robots and have them fight to the death in this ring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was that, Comedy Central or something? Early 2000s?
Or Science Channel or something. No, it was before the Science Channel.
Maybe Sci-Fi, I don't know.
Sci-Fi, I believe.
Yeah, that's what this sounds like.
So you're playing Robocraft, what else are you playing?
Robocraft, I believe that is it. I mean, how often do we all get to play together, but Warface... I was having fun with that. I wouldn't mind.
I feel like we almost got through all the content, though.
Yeah.
Like, we've unlocked all the different current missions there are for co-op.
I can't really recommend it, guys. It's good for one day with your buddies, probably.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Yeah, we did. We had a great time.
Yep.
So.
Let's wrap this one up.
Yep.
Yeah. Make sure you listen after this. Listen to the CSGO interview with Prism. Like, that's a really good, really good interview.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is just spread the word. Tell a friend. This is probably the first time we had stagnant numbers for some reason. I don't know why. So if you could get one person to listen, that would be awesome for us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And if you're listening and like it, subscribe to us on iTunes. Like, that's a really good way to listen to us every week.
Absolutely.
Yep. And of course, we extend the invitation. If you want to play with us, find us on our Steam group, DL Gaming. And you can email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. Check out our website at dlgaming.net. And definitely go to the YouTube channel and check out Emilio's
Drunk
Ass.
And Twitter, too.
Oh, yeah, Twitter, DL Gaming, DOTnet.
Titties. Did I jump the gun there?
No. You're good.
Titties.
All right, so we're back with another interview. Today we've got Mike. He is a professional Counter-Strike Go player. Mike, welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Let's cover all the basics, first of all. How old are you?
I'm 23.
23, nice. And what team do you play for in Counter-Strike?
I play for Izonis. We're in SIVO and ESEA main.
Right on. And what name do you game under?
Prism, PR1SM.
Nice. All right, cool. So how long have you been playing CSGO?
I want to say I started around 2003, 2002, like just playing in pubs and 1.6 and whatnot. Then probably started playing in Source in around 2004. Probably started getting in the competitive side of it around 2005.
So you got a long history with Counter-Strike.
Yeah, I've been playing for a couple days.
How many hours you put in a week?
Like actual team practice, I probably play like 3 hours a night, 4 or 5 days a week, and then all my own time, maybe a couple hours more a day, probably around a week, 20 hours, yeah. 20 hours or so.
That's a good chunk of time. Do you ever find that you don't have time for any other games?
Oh yeah, I don't really play any other games because of that. I mean, I was playing like Dota when the International was on just because... When I watch big tournaments, I want to play that game because in my mind, like I think I'm going to be good at it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Dude, same thing happened.
That's about it.
Dude, that's something that I hadn't even considered about that tournament. Like, of course, like you, those big numbers are drawing media attention and stuff. But also, it makes all these people that aren't players want to go play. Like Bobby went back to playing Smite just because he saw that Dota tournament.
Yeah, I probably played 25 games when the tournament was going on, and 2 days after the tournament, I haven't played since, so...
Yeah, you figured out why you quit in the first place, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
You've been playing Counter-Strike for a long time. Did you just play it casually for most of the time and then kind of made that transition?
Let me think. Why did I start playing competitively?
The way he says it is like, oh, God, why did I?
I know. I don't know why I started... Oh, a couple people from my high school, they were, like, much better than me, and they played competitively. And they're like, yeah, you should come and scrim, like, see what that's about. I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I love playing Counter-Strike. I love running around in pubs all day, so I might as well try and take it to the next level. And been doing that ever since.
I heard you guys did Fragadelphia recently. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, Fragadelphia. It was run pretty good. There's about 16 teams. Bring your own computer, monitor, and all that. First day, group stages. Second day, playoffs and whatnot. We came in second out of 16. We lost to just us in the finals.
Still, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's good. So if you're bringing your own PC, how do they monitor, like, cheating or hacking or other forms like that?
Well, there's always... Like, that's happened before. People cheat. They have, like, they can put cheats in their mouse drivers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're sitting behind you the whole time. They're walking around. Everyone can watch you play, so... It wasn't much a big deal there.
Gotcha.
But, there was no issue with it, but I have heard of it happening before.
Huh.
Dude, I heard about this one tournament where one Counter-Strike team had put malware on the other team's computers so that they could start mining Bitcoin for the other team.
Really?
And, when the tournament directors, like, emailed them about whether or not they had done it, the response was lol.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Could you tell us a little bit for people that haven't been to a competitive Counter-Strike, how is it set up? You said that they're sitting behind you watching. Do they have judges there? How is that all set up?
Well, at Fragadelphia, they had, let me think, 3 or 4 admins. And it's not a big place at all. It's maybe 700 square feet, 800, 900, something like that. It's not very big at all. There's enough for 4 teams, and when you're done with your match, you pretty much break down, put your computer on the side, and wait until the next match.
Gotcha. So it's all pretty much very intimate setting, huh?
Yeah, it's not like you see the international, you see people playing on stages. It's nothing like that.
Does Counter-Strike get up to that level at the highest end?
ESL 1, which is coming up, it's $250,000 tournament in Cologne. In the end of August, I think. And then Gfinity, which is coming up the beginning of August, which is in London, and I think it's $45,000 for first. Those will have main stages. They'll have good production value. And I also heard one of the Counter-Strike developers or the guy that runs Counter-Strike said, someone asked him, like, is there ever going to be an international for Counter-Strike? Will we ever see a tournament run by Valve like this? And he said, I don't see why not.
Yeah, it, and it seems to be
more than likely be one.
It seems to be on the upswing, too, Counter-Strike. It seems like, yeah, there's more and more. Like, it's gaining steam, no pun intended. So what's the big difference between 1.6 and Go? Why did people switch? Is it just because it's newer?
I didn't play 1.6. I played Source.
Right.
But, I mean,
Source, that's what I mean.
It's the same thing. It's a new game. Sponsors aren't going to sponsor 1.6. It looks like Legos when they can sponsor a game like Call of Duty. It's not that the game's better. I think Call of Duty is not a good game at all. And I still think 1.6 is the best Counter-Strike, and I didn't even play it. But the games that looked better, it's...
Right.
And no one's playing Source, obviously.
I thought it was crazy, man. I was watching a couple matches, and I see that some people play at 800 by 600 so they could play at the old resolution that they were used to, I guess.
Wow. I wouldn't say all, but a lot of 1.6 players play like 640 by 480 and 8x6.
Yeah.
Are you serious? That's crazy.
Is there
a lot of them play widescreen now, like in 1920 by 1080, because you can see more, and that's what the game's made for.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a pretty standard setup then?
I change sometimes because I, for some reason, think it's going to change my gameplay, but...
No, dude, yeah. It's totally the mouse, dude. It's totally the mouse.
Yeah, so, if I use the professional settings, I'll be professional, right? Yeah.
So what do you specialize in? Are you more of an opper, how do you usually run?
I was a support rifler for a while, and then we just changed it up. I'm going to opt for my team now.
Yeah, and what are all the positions? Because I saw that they were throwing the bomb to you most of the time when you were streaming right now.
Okay. There is two support riflers generally on your team, which support rifler doesn't mean you're a weaker player at all. Like, Get Right on Nip is a support rifler, and he's the best player in the world, pretty much. So two support riflers will pretty much throw flashes. They're not going to be the first ones in. That's about it. There's going to be two entry fraggers, generally riflers, an AWPer, and two supports. The entries will go in first, obviously. They're the ones that have the quickest, the best aim, hopefully on your team at least. And then that's about it. They're the best at getting the kills running in.
So the support guys, they're spending all their money on flashbangs and smokes, so they might just have a pistol for a round or something?
If you were buying with low money and, say, four of your teammates could buy AK armor or M4 armor and whatnot, and you have 34, which can't get you an AK and head armor. You can get a pistol, head armor, and full nades, and your job's still going to be done regardless, since you aren't going to be the first one in.
Hmm. I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. And then if one of your dudes dies, you could always pick up his weapon,
yeah,
I guess,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So is the standard tournament 5v5 at all times? Is that pretty much the standard?
That's CSGO now, I think,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I think in like really early 1.3 or 1.4, it was 6v6 for a little bit, but... Ever since then, 10 years, 12 years, it's been 5 versus 5.
Gotcha, because pub games run up to, like, what, 15 versus 15 or something like that?
Craziness.
Yeah.
Do you ever go into pub games to clean up shop?
No. I'll play matchmaking. I guess that's not... It's a pub to me, but to people getting into the game, that's the competitive aspect of it.
Right.
No, I'll just mainly go into a deathmatch or matchmaking.
I was watching the top end guys play, like the grand finals and stuff. It's so crazy how you guys are responding to seriously a pixel, like one pixel of one guy's shoulder, and you know exactly what's happening. I guess because you've done it thousands and thousands of times.
Yeah, your eyes are so trained to it. Like, I played a Source, like ESCA pug the other day, and I was seeing stuff, which if I was playing Source at the time, like 5 years ago when I was playing Source, I would have saw that guy knowing exactly what he's going to do, but I played it the other day, and it's still Counter-Strike, but it's just a different game. It's not what my eyes are trained to.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy. What has been your best moment in CS, you think, in competitive play? Have you had an oh-shit moment?
In competitive play?
Yeah.
Not really in Go. I don't think I've hit my potential in Go. In Source, I won ESEA Intermediate once. I won CIVO Main, CIVO Amateur. Never really had... I haven't hit my prime yet. That's coming.
Gotcha. What are the main leagues that there are? Like, which one? How do you? What's the Premier League, I guess?
Most popular is going to be ESEA Invite. That's, I want to say 10 teams are in there. arguably the 10 best North American teams. Then we have ESEA Premier, which is one step under that. They just put that in this season, then Main, then Intermediate, then Open. And then you also have SIVO, which is, it just came back. It's on the upswing, but there's still some bugs there.
I guess I was watching ESL. Is that, that's European ESL or something?
Yeah.
I guess they were starting with, they do a knife round, then a pistol round. Is that standard?
Yes, that's what SIVO does. They have a knife round. You win the knife, you get to pick what side you are. If anyone listening to this has anything to do with ESEA and picking the rules, please incorporate knife rounds. Every single person wants it. Stop being stubborn. Just add it in there.
It's got to be pretty fun to watch.
Seriously, too, yeah. Every person. You read the forums, they say, add knife rounds, please. Every single person, but they won't do it. It's just a random generator. You get to pick what side you start on now. And it's
and sides really are that important that it determines stuff?
I'll give a little example here. We played Train, which is the most CT-sided map in Counter-Strike, sorry. We started T-side both because ESEA decides to randomly generate what sides we, if we're home or away, and we got away for both. Huh. We don't practice Train because that's not a LAN map. It's never going to be played at LAN. You can just veto it. You can choose not to play it. So we didn't play it. We just took a break since we just got back from a LAN. So we took a break and just played the matches. Our first match, we lost 14-1 T-side.
Jeez. Wow.
Our second match, we lost that match 16-1. Our second match, we lost 12-3.
Gotcha.
First half, and then we lost that 16-11. I mean, we didn't practice either way, but still, it shouldn't be that one-sided. You have to run out of a little choke point where they're just going to throw a smoke or a fire grenade, and you can't run out of it. And if you do run through the smoke, you're going to die.
Gotcha.
Huh. It's just a horrible map and horrible to start T-side with for no reason, just because they said so.
I mean, so I was right after your stream, I was watching you doing some wagering with like some of your guns. Is that what you're doing? You're wagering guns?
Yes.
So explain the whole thing, because I've heard some crazy stupid prices, like $400 for skins and stuff. So how does this all work?
CSGOLounge.com. You can bet your skins. You can only bet up to, I think it's $55 skin or something like that. Hmm. And you can't bet any knives. And you have choices. Like on the website now, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games you can bet on. I think they go up to like two days away or a day away. There's odds based on who bet on, or how many bets are on one team. Or I'm not sure if it's how many bets or the value. Probably the value. But you win and you hope for the best, but it's kind of bad in CSGO because there's so many teams getting DDoSed because of this. Like if there's a bet up here for 70% for one team, 30% for the other team. Like if you can, they're obviously going to DDoS the 70% and bet on the 30% team, right, and win skins out of it, which it happens a lot, like way too much. Valve needs to get rid of the IPs or add something, you know, so you can't get IPs.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even.
And now, what are
that.
You betting on? You're betting on actual tournament play, or just...
Yes.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Not necessarily tournaments. It just might be a league match, like nothing big.
Gotcha.
But I mean, when there is a big tournament coming up, like ESL or G Infinity, they'll be on here as well. Those are the ones you want to bet on. There's gonna be no DDoS. It's the teams playing on LAN. They're obviously using all their strats. They're not saving anything.
If I'm a new player getting into CSGO, you got any tips or suggestions for a new player getting into the game?
Wow, I haven't been a new player for a while.
What would be the most important thing to learn or to practice?
Communication, that's a good one. I don't think that's the most important, but that's a good one. So many players lack that because they think, like, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to kill the guy. I don't need to call things. But
gotcha.
Definitely, if you're new, aim. You have to learn how to aim.
That was always my problem.
I'm
terrible at it.
The smarts will come with time. Learn like game sense. It just takes a long time. You can't just think like, all right, I'm gonna be smarter in this game. Like it just happens.
Okay, man. So all these crazy names you have for every nook and cranny of every goddamn map. Like where the fuck do, who comes up with these names, first of all?
Where do you find them to learn them?
Make a ride at banana and then jump over the monkey. And you're like, what the fuck? I don't know what any of that means.
That's funny.
Yeah, so who starts it and how does it spread? I guess through videos is how it spreads, right?
Yeah. They also like have it has the names under the radar now, which no one uses those. But generally, if a new map comes out, like say there's a spot called Mustang on Nuke. Not, it wasn't a new map at the time, but this one player in the CGS who played Source played it, and his name was Mustang, and he played it every round, and he just dominated if they came to a spot every round because he was just the best at playing it. So there's spots called Mustang because a player played it so good.
That's about the best story for a spot. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
I mean, that's not every spot. It's not like, all right, there's Forest over there, there's Get Right over there, there's Exist over there. It's a couple spots on the maps, but...
Dude, when shit fucking blows up and esports is all over the place, maybe sponsors will come in and be like, oh, that's Honda right there. Right?
That's Toyota. Intel. Yeah. Intel site and AMD site. Yeah. Yeah.
How about the more experienced player looking to get into the competitive scene? Do you have any advice for a player that's good at Counter-Strike but wants to get even better or wants to get in the competitive scene?
Well, in North America, it's extremely... There's one way to do it and one way only. You have to get ESEA. You're never going to be relevant in North America in the competitive scene unless you play ESEA.
Gotcha.
Not a question. Not anybody. No one. Hmm. That's where everyone scrims, where everyone practices.
You get your rank up through, like if you get your rank really high within, you know, Steam or whatever, does that even matter? I mean, will people notice you?
If you're playing matchmaking, maybe. They'll probably call you a cheater if you don't play ESEA. That's just, like when I go into matchmaking, I pretty much type status in console, see how many brand new accounts there are. That's so, it's not credible at all, really. Unless you're a known person, it's not credible.
Gotcha.
It's kind of weird how you're in this computer players and like Counter-Strike players. It's just kind of crafty, you know? They're just by their own nature, they're crafty. So like they're looking for any kind of edge, like the DDoSing, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You got to be on your tippy toes to be on top of shit against other, you know, not just within the game, but I'm talking about like just in life. You're dealing with dudes that are just crafty, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. One thing that I think definitely like not cripples, but maybe puts Counter-Strike a little bit behind all the MOBAs now is I don't think I've ever heard of anyone cheating in MOBAs. Is that even possible?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything either.
Right? There's always cheaters in like matchmaking. There's always cheaters. Dude, if I'm a new player and I'm playing against cheaters, I don't want to fucking play this game. I'll go play League of Legends.
It's hard enough already. At least if you play Dota and you lose, you still got to play for 30 minutes.
Yep.
CSGO, I mean, you're getting headshot from across the place.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, fuck this game, you know?
Yeah.
It's got to be the mouse. It's got to be.
Everybody that beats me is hacking, so.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah.
Obviously. So what games are you looking forward to in just a general sense?
Dude, I know he doesn't even play
anymore. I know you don't have a lot of time, mm-hmm. but is there anything else you're looking forward to?
H1Z1? I think watched a stream of that. It looked alright. I like those kind of games, but those are like any game I play that's not Counter-Strike, I'll play for, I'm going to say, a month at max, and I'll be super into it. Then I just lose interest. Counter-Strike's the only game that's I've ever kept interest in for more than 6 months or a year, maybe.
And then anytime you're playing anything else, your skills are deteriorating, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy how much time you got to put in, man. Do you ever find yourself like getting frustrated or bored or anything like that? Or is it always something new to learn and keeping it fresh? Are you still having fun with it, I guess?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely having fun, but it's definitely more of the competitive aspect. Like, I'm older now. I don't play sports. I used to play soccer my whole life. I don't play that anymore. I need something to be competitive with. So I suppose that's this.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And also with the motivation... In Source, I lost motivation a lot because there was never tournaments. There's never LANs to go to. And I've been to, I would say, four of them in the past 4 or 5 months. And that definitely, once I get back, I think I didn't win. I want to get better. I want to win the next one.
Yeah. What's the next one you're going to?
There's one next week that we thought about going to. I don't think we're going to. It's in Boston. But Fragadelphia, the next Fragadelphia.
Gotcha.
Which will be September 14th, I think.
You think you guys are going to win, or is there teams there that you guys have difficulties beating, or what's your expectation there?
I would say the team that we're going to play in the finals is the same team we played last time.
Which is, what was the team again?
Just Us Pro. And they're not going to have, if you guys watch Counter-Strike streams, you know who Shazam is. He's a good AWPer. And he's not going to, I doubt he's playing for them. He left their team. So that should give us a little bit of an advantage.
So you guys are the best teams in the area then, probably.
Yeah. A lot of the people going are pugs. They put practice in, but they're not playing every night for months on end like we do together. So they're just pugs, but there are also some teams. But yeah, I'd say we're the two best teams.
And are there any prizes at this level?
I think first place was like 2,500 last time.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
Wow. I think we all got like 180 or 200 for getting second.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Dude, it's gas money.
Yeah,
exactly. I live 45 minutes away. It's no problem for me.
Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit about your team that you're on right now?
Yeah, we got, it's me, Odger, Tom Cho, 1.6 veteran, Foe, who's a younger guy, 20 years old. I think he came from Source and okay, Godson.
Yeah, he says that's a 23-year-old.
Well, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
I'm old in the community now. I used to be 16. Everyone's like, oh, you sound like a little fucking girl. Like, I miss those days.
Well, you still sound like a little kid.
Right now, when you said that, you did it in a nice, deep voice. That was your big boy. You just found your big boy voice, right?
Yeah, I found it. It's gone. It ran away. But yeah, playing with those guys. We're all local, except Godson lives in Arkansas. Everyone else is from Pennsylvania, New York, Philadelphia.
How'd this team come together?
The last Fragadelphia, or the first Fragadelphia, Odger went with me. I wasn't on a team with him at the time. And then I went to a LAN in Toledo, and Foe was there. And once he left that land, we were going to revamp the team a little bit, me and Tom Cho. So I asked him because he played at the LAN. He played well. Honestly, if I look for players, I look for players that have never played at a high level because I feel like they have more. One, they don't have an ego. If they play with you and you give them criticism, they're not going to say, like, fuck you, I'm right. They're open to ideas. And two, they're just younger. They have better reactions, better aim. Or not necessarily better aim, but...
So does that mean... Are you running this team, or is this team being run by somebody else, or who's in charge of it?
Yeah, I run the team. I give all the executive decisions. Gotcha. If someone does something stupid, I say, why are you doing that? Come on, don't peek that. Like, that's a dumb play.
Yeah, gotcha.
And, or they're going to make it over and over again.
I heard one of the announcers saying that the shot caller usually isn't getting the most frags either. Is that because you're, like, strategizing a little bit more and you're holding back?
I just... transition to not be a shot caller like 2 days ago, and I don't think it makes that much of a difference. I think it's more of a like scapegoat to get out of like someone not killing people,
right?
Like playing bad. It makes a little bit of a difference because sometimes I'll be looking at the radar saying, all right, you go here, you go there, and someone will peek me and kill me, and it's just bad timing.
Gotcha.
So no excuses.
You want to go to the three questions?
Sure. So, favorite game of all time. I think we already know that, huh?
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm going to give it top two.
Okay.
One, definitely Counter-Strike. Two, Command & Conquer Renegade. Dude, it was the first FPS I ever played.
That's what Tyler Wilde said.
Our last interview. Yeah.
I love that game so much.
I might have to pick it up and try it based on your
I don't think there's anyone that plays it anymore. I tried playing it like 2 years ago. There was like four people online total, but it was amazing.
And if a video game character played you in a movie, which one would it be?
If I played a video game character?
No. If one played you in a movie.
Yeah. If
you... I really definitely never thought about that one. What's the guy's name from Half-Life? Gordon
Freeman.
There you go.
Gordon Freeman, yeah. It'll be him, whatever. Bashing on people's heads with a crowbar.
Goatee or whatever, rock.
Like Nerdy Tough.
Yeah.
I can't grow facial hair, though. I don't think I'm cutting it.
I go with Duke Nukem. We have the same shades.
That's true.
I would have always gone with the Uncharted.
I can't believe I can't remember our last third question for all our interviews. You guys?
Yeah, no, I can't remember.
All right, well, I guess we'll wrap it up there.
Yeah.
You've got that tournament coming up, Fragadelphia. When is that happening?
Yeah, 13th and 14th. Yep.
And that's all live stream, right?
Yeah, it'll be on twitch.tv/ Fragadelphia, I think.
twitch.tv/Fragadelphia, right on. So check that out, September 13th to 14th.
And then if they want to watch you stream, where do they find you?
twitch.tv/ Prism with 2 M's. I usually stream.
So PR1SMM?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I usually stream most of my practices pretty much every weeknight when I'm playing.
Yeah, and apparently he accepts Domino's Pizza as donations.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Send these pizza my way. I'm hungry right now.
Your style, man. Right on. Anything else you want to send out there? Twitter, anything like that? Or just keep it on Twitch?
I don't really have anything else for Counter-Strike on any other social medias. I guess I'm slacking a little bit.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Appreciate the interview, though.
Twitch is good. Yeah, no, dude, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time.
It was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Talk to you later, man.
Cool.
See you guys.
Later.
Thanks.